Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. Welcome. It's Monday morning. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. With me in the studio is Amy Anderson. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Production Coordinator. And Adam Koons, back from a long weekend. Adam?
Yep.
How was your weekend?
Great. Got a great American experience at the State Fair.
A slice of Americana.
Yeah.
So you took the kids?
Took the kids. Rode some scary carnival rides and
yeah, just, right. That as adults you wouldn't go on,
right?
Oh, that's funny. How'd they like the animals? Did you see the biggest hog?
Yeah, they, you know,
yep.
What's not to love,
right? We went as a family and last week, and we ended up splitting up and heading home. And I'm glad we did because my wife and the girls spent an hour in the quilt exhibit. The quilting exhibits.
They've awesome. Taken such an exciting exhibit.
They've taken up quilting and more power. And they didn't have, when I went, they didn't have the fish for the DNR exhibit, which is actually a favorite of mine. All right, let's dig in. Let's talk about, we hit an anniversary this week. We'll talk about that. This last weekend, excuse me. And then kind of where we are from a crossroads standpoint and what is what we expect for the second half of the year, especially leading into October. And then cover earnings.
Yep.
All right. So this last weekend, I'm pretty sure you guys have all marked this on your calendars, but this was this was the 50th anniversary of President Nixon taking us off the gold standard. So that happened August 15th, 1971. I think I was probably in third grade. But up until that point, anyone owning a U.S. dollar had the right to exchange it for a fractional share of gold at a fixed rate. And there was kind of a handshake that you actually wouldn't do that.
Right.
However, the fractional share changed from after Bretton Woods. So the Bretton Woods Agreement back in 1944 was the architect of John Maynard Keynes, and that reduced the fractional share interest from what Roosevelt had done previously. But back then, because we were backed by gold, the currency could only expand so much. And because of the spending after the war, it became necessary for us to run a balance of trade deficit in order to stimulate growth. And that carried well into the 2021s, excuse me. But that helped to promote global trade between Europe and Japan, and the United States took the position that to get money into the hands of our new allies to help spend was better for the dollar. Everything was pegged to the U.S. dollar, so it was a way actually to devalue global currencies, but that's how the U.S. became the reserve currency following World War II. It sounds a lot like China right now, and China's program with the Belt and Road spending initiative that they have. However, what ended up happening is the France ultimately really pushed because they were building their gold reserves. It was cheaper to them to cash in on the gold than to buy it in the open market. And so it just forced the unwinding. And that unwinding of the backed currency, of a gold-backed currency, is what untethered. We became a fiat currency, and that allowed money to expand at the rates that it has. And if you look at any chart on the growth in credit or the growth in money, you'll see this hockey stick, and it starts back in the early 1970s when it really took off. And then the acceleration in the last 12 years since the financial crisis has just been astounding. So that's where we're at today. So we celebrate that 50th anniversary, and we scratch our heads because this new regime that we're under, we've gone through three monetary regime changes since Bretton Woods. So we're in this monetary regime now where we're using quantitative easing and huge debt levels to support economic expansion or support the really stability in our economy. So with that, Let's talk about earnings, and then we can come back and talk about where we are from just this this crossroads that we're in. But earnings, so all financial assets have done remarkably well this year, right? Well. So S&P 500 is up over 18% year to date, remarkable. And then we've just got this new fiscal stimulus. So we got $1 trillion infrastructure bill coming our way. So more spending, that's going to help theoretically. More money into the system should help. And it's being debated, it's an economy that really needs it. But as that translates into earnings, we've had a pretty good earnings season.
Very good. I mean, obviously we're coming off of a pretty low base. So that makes the overall numbers from a growth standpoint look really large. But when you look at the actual revenue numbers and earnings numbers, we've surpassed what we were pre-COVID in many industries. So, and particularly in tech, I mean, obviously that's just been on a rocket ship, and over the last 3 months has outperformed the S&P 500 by almost 10%. But yes, so you've seen revenue growth in the double digits. You've seen earnings growth in some places, almost 50%. So as you've seen companies adjust to higher wages and higher input costs, they're still able to make strong profits. So Disney was a big release last week. Gave us some insight on whether some of the shifts we've seen in Netflix and NBC were just specific to those companies, or if it's an overall shift from the consumer. And really what Disney showed is that consumers are still at home watching shows. So subscriber growth beat expectations by 3 million. So right now their subscribers are 116 million, which is really a phenomenal number given how, this is pretty recent.
Right.
Over-the-top subscription-based product. So when you've got 122 households in the U.S. and you got 116 million users,
right?
That's strong growth.
So we've got AT&T, Comcast. I mean, there's a lot of different streaming services, Amazon. So can they all survive and compete? Or what's the expectation in terms of what streaming looks like 10 years from now?
Yeah, so it became really fragmented as people began to move away from cable and unbundle. But now the problem and the joke, we made in the office the other day is that we're spending more on having 10 different services. So
right.
I think right now we're still in the early stages of this, but eventually I think what we'll have is, yes, we'll have consolidation. And you just have to, because the cost of the content continues to go up, and it's just not sustainable for companies like Netflix to make any money. Unless it remains this fragmented. So overall, yeah, eventually I think we see consolidation.
Consolidation. So there ultimately are going to be winners and losers, but it's been interesting to see who what companies use this as a part of their business model, their growing business model. So Comcast was a little late with the Peacock.
Yes.
Streaming service, but CBS has theirs.
Yeah, they have something, but once again, they haven't really pushed it that hard. And Viacom is trying to come out with some different services, but they continue to fail. And even Apple, they've tried to launch a product and it has largely been a failure.
Yeah.
So it's,
except for Ted Lasso.
Well, yeah. So what you have is, right, you have these one-off shows that people watch and then they cancel, but the ones that seem to be sustainable are Netflix and Disney have.
Yeah. Well, I'm embarrassed to admit on it, but I will on this podcast that, my daughter got on HBO just to watch the Friends 25th anniversary. We wouldn't be on HBO otherwise.
Right.
So she did it just to watch that one show.
And I hear that more and more where people will subscribe for a period of time and because it's so easy to cancel. So, but that makes it difficult for these companies to remain profitable if it's just...
Well, then to be on a streaming service and then have to pay premium prices to watch a movie like Black Widow on Disney was $19.95 or something. So it's not like you're getting it for free. You're still having to pay.
Yeah.
So the model's going to shift.
Definitely going to shift. And what you're seeing there is the shift away from movie theaters, which that's a whole different thing we got to talk about is that... the relevancy of movie theaters because they're continuing to have a difficult time even getting movies to put in the theaters because studios would just rather put it on a streaming service and charge $20. And
Yeah, which is the essence of the lawsuit that Scarlett Johansson filed on Black Widow, which I haven't seen, but I apparently am talking about it a lot. Okay, so where do we go this week on earnings?
So this week, we get a lot of the consumer staple type names. So we got Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, Target. So we'll really get a good measure of how strong the consumer is, and then also how these companies are able to pass on pricing increases.
Yeah. So here's where we're at now is that we think we're at this crossroads of an accelerating economy, and we have to take the COVID variant right now and just kind of we have to watch it. But the thesis that we have is that we would see a continued reopening of the economy in the second half of the year, and that the COVID-affected industries, including entertainment and football games and travel and leisure, would really start to open up. Again, that's being impacted by the COVID variant, clearly. But the base case is that the accelerating economy would basically allow the Fed the cover to reduce its aggressive stimulus in the system. We think that fourth quarter that the Fed will start to talk about what it means to withdraw its aggressive stimulus from the system. With that, we would expect higher interest rates. We'd expect earnings growth to slow, Adam, as you pointed out, as the comparisons to artificially low earnings levels during the pandemic begin to normalize. But the paradox is that the Fed can only withdraw so much before the economy starts to slow, and then they need to
do it all over again.
They need to stimulate. So the question then becomes, this is the modern Federal Reserve, is how much will the Fed allow the economy to effectively correct to before it really puts massive stimulus back into the marketplace? And this is, I mean, we've been testing this since 2008 following the financial crisis. So that really remains to be seen. And the paradox is what we're scratching our heads, because it's not the fundamentals that matter. It's really, can you really count on government intervention to save the day again? Or will we really see a slowdown, especially a slowdown right now where we still have an impaired labor market where people haven't come back to work? So for investors, it's really a challenging time, because I don't know that there is a fundamental law of economics that really defines the position that we're in right now, but common sense takes hold. And asset prices are highly valued right now.
They are.
So inflation is a real thing, but cash, we'll see some price erosion, pricing power erosion in cash, but also it's probably this holding some cash right now from a safety standpoint going into the fourth quarter is could be prudent.
Yeah, dry powder is always welcome.
Because if you're fully invested and everything goes down, you just have nothing to rebalance the portfolio with. So having non-correlated assets and fixed income is going to be a challenged asset class. So with that, anything else that's on your plate this week?
Nothing here.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.